Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. Today, I am super excited to have this bonus episode with my good friend, Robin Kelson, and we're going to talk to you about the 2017 Free the Seeds Seed and Start Fair and Swap. The second annual Seed and Start Fair and is it also, it's also a swap, right? A seed swap.
It certainly is. Yes.
Well, welcome, Robin.
Thanks, Jackie. It's fabulous to be here as always. And congratulations on all the success of your podcast. It's so great to see all the downloads and listen to all the great shows that come on. It's great.
Well, thanks, Robin. Well, it's because of amazing guests like you. So sharing all your stuff, I can't take too much credit. All I do is just get lucky enough to hear everything first.
That's great.
So it's been so exciting. I know. And just, I don't know, have no idea where the numbers come from. So they're kind of fun. So yep. Anyway, and me being the data junkie that I am, it's like, it's nice to see something growing.
So, amen.
All right. So tell us today, we're going to talk about the 2017 Free the Seeds Fair. It is March, oh dang, where did I put it? It's March 4th, right?
Yep. Yes, that's correct. Saturday, March 4th.
Mm-hmm. And from early in the morning, it's all day, right? Oh, there it is.
Yes.
8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m.
Yes, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Yeah.
And it's in Kalispell, Montana.
Yep. At the Flathead Valley Community College. That's where it was last year. And we decided this year to make it longer in order to accommodate the enormous response we got last year. You know, we didn't expect 1,600 people to show up the first time we did this, but it was a huge success and it was a huge piece of feedback from the community about how important this is for the community and how interested they are in it. So we negotiated with the community college to give us more time and more space so that we could accommodate, you know, all the people who want to learn about real seeds, real food, and real skills. And we think we found a match with space and time and information.
Nice. All right. Well, I was just going to start there really quick in case somebody wants to create one of these in their community. Like, how did that go negotiating with the college? Like, is that something?
Well,
like, who do you talk to at a college?
Well, we're very fortunate at the Flathead Valley Community College. They have a sustainable agriculture program that is committed to teaching students how to grow sustainably and resiliently, and they were primed for creating the space for us to do this. You know, they were very generous in letting us have the space because it would hopefully help bring attention to the great programs that they have at the college, and it has. I think they've appreciated that feedback. So finding places in your community that are where you have like-minded people is probably a great place to start, because then you just get a lot of, you know, built-in enthusiasm and support, and we certainly have that at the college for sure.
Awesome. That's great to hear about Kalispell. Okay. So do you want to tell listeners maybe, because I've certainly gotten a lot of new listeners since last year, just tell them what it's about.
Sure, absolutely. So we're a group of people who are, the Free the Seeds is a community-powered opportunity for helping educating ourselves about real seeds, real food, and real skills, because we think that will support our community sustainability and resiliency capability. And that's really what we're trying to create the opportunity for. So we have this massive seed swap, and this year we actually have pre-drop-off event locations to help people gather up their seeds from last year or previous years. It could be seeds that you bought or seeds that you saved or seeds that somebody gave you that you don't plan on planting. If you bring them into any one of our three drop-off locations, and I'll tell you where they are in a minute, you ahead of time, then you'll have a chance to enter into our Seed Steward raffle. We have some great raffle items that people have donated and made for us. The idea behind getting people to drop off their seeds ahead of time is that you can bring us your dirty seeds and we have folks who will help clean them. And then we're going to package them so we can package the seeds in smaller envelopes. Last year, which was our first year, we were just dumbfounded by the fact that we had 1,600 people show up for the free seeds, and we ran out of seeds, which we don't want to do this year. So this year, we're going to package them. We've got a couple organizations, CryJ in Kalispell, and then a couple of school organizations and volunteers who are going to donate some time to help package the seeds in smaller envelopes so everybody can get a variety of seeds. We really want everyone to go home with some seeds. So that's a big task for 1,600 people, but we're up for it. And so if you bring your seeds in early, you can drop them off at the Kalispell Imagine If Library or the Columbia Falls Imagine If Library, or if you're in Whitefish, you can drop them off at the Good Seed Company. We're at 100 2nd Street East in Whitefish, Montana at Suite 305. So any questions, you can call 406-471-0022 for more information, or you can go to our website and connect with us that way, or email info@freetheseedsmt.com. But we're delighted to get any seeds people want to donate. Of course, they do need to be non-GMO and preferably open-pollinated versus hybrid seed.
So besides the seed swap, there's going to be other things going on that day. Like, did I see you were having 50 booths and sponsors and different things?
Yes. And let me tell you this. So this year, because we had so many people last year, and last year we had the seed swap and the booths in the same room, and it was very crowded, to say the least. So this year, two things are different. One, the seed swap is from 8 a.m. until noon. So 4 hours, 8 a.m. until noon, and it has its own room. So you just, one room only is just where you want to exchange seeds. And you can bring seeds day of the event or drop them off early. And even if you don't have any seeds, you can still go in the room and take seeds home. That's our goal, is get seeds in people's hands so they can take them home and plant them. So that's from 8 a.m. until noon. And then in other rooms, unrelated to the seed swap, in the same building, which is the Arts and Technology building at the Community College, we have booths. Right now we have probably somewhere in the vicinity of 40 booths, might be up to 50, I'm not sure. And then we have about 18 to 20 workshops, and those will be going on from 10 a.m. until 3:30 p.m. Some of them are going to repeat. We had some very successful, well, all of them were filled to capacity last year, and some of them, we just got a lot of feedback of people who were disappointed they couldn't get into the room. You know, we just had no idea.
That was the biggest complaint.
I know.
Was at the front door, and I would gladly help do that again.
Yeah.
It was so fun. We were at it, Pam had made the flyers, I think, and there were like 500 flyers, and they were almost all gone by 10 o'clock when it opened. I mean, it was just crazy. The people just coming through in droves, and it was so fun.
Yeah.
But definitely people going back out past that front door, the number one complaint, I think, if there was anything related to a complaint, was there wasn't enough room.
Yeah.
And so I had for to sit some on of the them, floor. I couldn't get in.
Like, some of them couldn't get in. You know, we had 50 people in the room, which was capacity, and 80 people outside. So
yeah.
So this year, instead of increasing the variety of workshops, we kept the same sort of total variety of topics, mm-hmm. more or less the same. And then we just asked our speakers if they would be willing to give them twice, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And that's
nice.
True for...
What a great idea.
Wasn't that a great idea? So that more people could come and get some of the basic information. We have workshops on seed starting and seed saving and fruit tree pruning and fruit tree grafting and how to build healthy soil and how to compost and some basic principles of permaculture and different forms of food preserving, all kinds of stuff, you know. So, and all of them intended to be useful information, whether you're a beginner or a seasoned grower, and to give you some additional skills that you can put in your toolkit. And the other thing, so that's one thing that's different, or two couple things that are different. The booths the other, so a couple other things. Let me just say before I forget, we have food trucks this year because another complaint we had was we were all so hungry and there was no food. So there are a number of local healthy food trucks that are going to be available for breakfast and lunch and coffee and this, that, and the other thing. So those will be out somewhere outside the building nearby. So that'll help people. And then we have some dedicated areas for kid-friendly activities, ages 8 and up. And those are going to go, I think we had, one thing we did different is that we've decided to make that available throughout the time. They're going to run continuously in one area, and then it'll just be a variety of activities that are intended to help kids learn more about real seeds and real foods and real skills, but in a kid-friendly way. So that's going on in, I believe, the Food Corps organization and the Cry J organization are managing that. I could be
What's
making that up.
What's the Cry J organization?
So let me get back to that, because it's I'm afraid I'm going to not do it justice. But it's a great organization that supports youth injustice.
Okay, cool.
Let me get back to that on you. So the other thing I want to say is, let's see, what else? This is what I wanted to tell you.
No worries.
This is
easy
what was
to
so
edit.
Exciting. Okay, good.
Okay.
So in addition, another thing we have is Food Corps, which is a Montana-generated organization to help. It's sort of related to AmeriCorps or Job Corps, but it's Food Corps, and it's about these volunteers or young adults that work in Food Corps go into local school districts and help teach students about real food. And so the Food Corps group in this area, in the Flathead Valley area, have come together, mostly I think pushed by one Food Corps member named Maddie Halverson, to put together a three-hour teacher training that's OPI certified. And it's going to be directed to teaching teachers how to connect a school garden to state standard curriculum, how to develop a school garden that is sustainable and easy to manage, and then how to work with outdoor classroom student management in an effective and fun way. So that's a three-hour program that's going to start, I think it starts at 8:30 and runs from 8:30 to 11:30. You can find information about it on the website, and all the students, all the teachers and schools in the Flathead Valley area, I think, have gotten direct invitations to attend. So I just think that's really cool.
All right. Well, I should attend. I'm not working the door till 11:30 then.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Because I definitely want to do that, because I'm doing the garden club and we have a Food Corps guy who works with us, this guy, Graham. And so that'll be awesome. I can't wait to tell the other teacher at my school that's doing the garden club with me and just pass the word around. And excellent. Wow. Yeah. Well, I didn't even see that on the website. So good to know. I'm so glad you told us about that.
Yeah. It'll be up by that. New piece will be up by Monday. Yeah, that's great.
And that is way great, because I feel like I'm kind of like floundering and like I'm just kind of like sink or swim in my garden club, and we kind of just like make up things each week.
Yes, exactly.
We're trying to figure it out. And then I got my worms this week for my vermiculture project, and I don't know how that's going. It was so fun, though. It was like the perfect day that they came, and the kids, we all like tore up the cardboard and threw it in the bucket. And like that day at my prep, I had two of my kids stay with me, and we drilled the holes in the plastic container. And so then we ripped up the cardboard, and then I had some fruit and vegetables that we've been saving all week from the school compost, and then we put the dirt in, and then finally I told the secretary, I was like, the worms are coming today. If they come, they're live worms, let me know right away, and I'll, you know, someone will go down. So the worms came right at 3 o'clock, and and we get out at 3:20, so it was like really quick to do this project. And like but I'm not sure. So we watched this video while I was doing it that day, and he said like I was supposed to like start the composting thing like 2 weeks before I got the worms for the best effect. And then I don't know if they survived the trip. It's been pretty cold. I don't know. So we'll have to see, but there's definitely a lot of worms. And then I have this bucket of dirt in my classroom full of worms. I almost think those worms were better than the ones I ordered.
Oh, probably.
I don't know why. They've just been living in this plant that somebody gave me, and I pulled the petunia out, and there's been this giant bucket, and the kids digging it. Sometimes it's funny. They're like, sometimes I have a hard time keeping them out of it. So now we have the worm bin. Everybody's like excited to go squirt the worms. We also got a guinea pig this week, so it's been an exciting week in my room for pets.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great.
But I am definitely going to try to attend this because I could use all the help I can get.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll send you the direct link from the food court people about direct invitation. So that's great.
And especially if it comes with state standards attached, because
exactly, that's the entire point of it.
We hear that word once a week at least.
Yeah.
Are you meeting your standards?
Right.
Do you know where your standards book is? What standard are you meeting today?
Yeah.
With this lesson.
And let me just come back to Craigjay, because now I found the correct information. I won't be making it up. Craigjay is the Center for Restorative Youth Justice.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, and their programs are intended to provide an alternative to the traditional justice system, particularly for youth and victims of juvenile crimes. And they just do tremendous work with kids that are empower kids and educate them and engage them in lots of ways that help them develop resiliencies and drawing on their existing skills and learning how to develop new skills and new ways of seeing themselves that help them transform their lives. And they're just, the kids and the people who work for them are just extraordinary.
Oh, I love that. I read this great book by this guy. I think his name is Ben Mickelson, and I want to say he lives in Bozeman. And it's called Touching Spirit Bearer. And it's about this kid that gets involved in a youth system like that. He ends up having to go to Alaska, I think. And but it just really changes your perspective on, like, you know, should we really be putting everybody in jail? Like, you know, the social links to a lot of trouble that happens with youths, and just, you know, the positive messages. There's positive changes, and I love that restorative justice piece as compared to just the penal. Is that what it is when you just put them in prison? You know, you make a mistake and you're out of the system. And I just feel like that just kind of breeds this. I don't know. When I first went to school, one of my professors, my reading teacher, I can still remember her to this day, Jan Labonte at U of M, writing on the board, and she drew this big circle, and it was the percentage of people that in our population really like need to be in prison is like 2%. Mm-hmm. And then the rest, you know, there's like 20% that maybe commit crimes and do things, but there's like these social impacts, and it's really only 2% that like actually have like a negative personality that can't be helped.
Right.
But the other people just like, you know, either didn't get, you know, a proper upbringing or something, or not even a proper, I mean, I know tons of people that came from a good home and just like made a wrong turn, or, you know, there's so many environmental and social and different things. Sometimes it's just a simple medication, like, you know, even though, or diet definitely link, you know, there's so many different things. And just, I just feel like, I don't know. I believe in a nurturing kind of more positive. I can find the positive for anybody. Anyway, off topic. Back to the seed swap.
Okay, so then the other thing, a couple other things are different this year than last year. And so another one is that last year we had two what we called community conversations. I forget what we called them, something slightly different last year. And they were, one of them was, you know, come here if you want to talk about building a seed library, you know, in the community, a community seed library. And the second one was, come here if you are a farmer and want more resources on how to support developing a local small farm community and business. And both those conversations led to additional participation by the community and enthusiasm. And in fact, last year, as a result, direct result of that conversation, the Good Seed Company and Imaginif Libraries partnered together to form a community seed library that's going to be opening in March of this year. We're going to announce it at the Seed Fair, and it'll be housed at the Columbia Falls Imaginif Library, and we have already one partnership lined up with the Columbia Falls Middle School. They're going to be building a school garden this summer, and specifically with the intention, among other things, to grow plants to save seeds, so from their garden, and donate them to the seed library, and then they'll be taking seeds from the library to plant in their garden. So they're going to start sort of getting that engine running, and that seed library is going to also be a resource for classes and workshops in seed plants, seed planting, seed starting, and seed saving, and just educating the community about everything related to seeds. So we're so excited and thrilled that we have a tremendous enthusiasm that's come forward around seed saving, and it's generated that conversation from the seed fair last year directly generated this concept of a community seed library. And so, and a very similar thing happened with the small farmer community conversation. They've now are rolling out a series of programs that help farmers with financial matters and business matters and various things related to building a successful and resilient growing business farm. And so this year, as a result of that, we decided to have more community conversations and create a space for them to happen throughout the day at the seed swap. And so we have a couple of those lined up. One of them is called Food Forests in Our Parks, and it's going to be working with the city of Kalispell. The city of Kalispell has received a Tiger Grant to help them with the conversion they have. They're taking out some rails in the downtown area of Kalispell, and they're going to convert that into a park. And they're seeking and soliciting input from the community on what people want in that park. And so we're going to sponsor a community conversation about the concept of building a food forest in that park. And if you're at all interested and you don't even know what a food forest is, but you're curious, come on by, listen to the conversation, and learn about food forests and learn how successful they are in other cities, and see if it's something you'd like to help support the city considering putting into the park that they're building. So that's one.
Awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Mike is so into food forests. He's just like totally on top of that. That's fantastic. Do you know anything more about them? Like, if a listener's never heard of anything, do you, like, what's your knowledge base as far as food forests go?
A food forest is designed to be a sustainable and self-sufficient growing system for the most part. And the food forests in public areas are designed to be a way for communities to have access to food. So they're free. You know, you can, you know, there'll be strawberries to grow and then fruit trees, and you can take the, you're allowed to harvest the fruit from the trees as a community member. And whatever the other items are that are, you know, if there's mint plants, feel free to snip off some mint leaves and take them home and make a tea out of them, or make it, you know, put them in your lemonade. Take some strawberries and take them home and eat them. Make them into jam. It's for apples. The community. So apples, absolutely.
And nuts, right?
And nuts, yes. So I personally am less clear on what are the specific species that would be grown here. There are a lot of them.
Right.
People are putting food forests in all over the valley and different parts of Montana. They're a great, sustainable, and resilient kind of sort of akin to a permaculture approach to growing. But the concept of food forests in a public space is for communities and community members to consider the possibility that, you know, it's available to everybody. You don't have to grow it yourself, and you don't have to buy it. You are a community member. Your food is for everyone. And it's a very powerful community building expression. And that's what people have found in other cities where they have put them in. It's a great way to build community and educate your neighbor. And they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun to install, and they are just very powerful ways to get neighbors talking to each other.
I think they have one where my mom lives.
Oh.
I think it's a great idea. Yeah. They put in some kind of park. I never made it there in the last spring when I was there. We talked about it. It's like, so I went to like this little elementary school, and it's like right behind where I went to this little place called Homestead in Garden City in New York. And it's like right behind there. up on this hill. I'm pretty sure it's like this little trail, and they had like a big Earth Day celebration right when I was there, and I didn't get to go. I can't remember why. But yeah, like I said, Mike's just spoke about them. I think there's a huge one like in Seattle or Portland.
Oh, how great is that?
There's a big one out there. And that's where I think I read, because there's something about fufars that have to do with like, you were saying, like the permaculture, like the bushes are down low and the nuts on the trees and like everything kind of grows. It's like this ecosystem that kind of like sustains off of each other, and you need to have like the different parts to, but yeah. And I love the idea that people can just go pick, you know, something to eat while they're, you know, especially like when I'm working, I always want to go to the store and buy an apple. And I'm always frustrated. Like, why doesn't the grocery store have a sink, you know, by the produce so I can wash this apple? Cause I'm not going to take it home. Like, fruit gets damaged so easily. I just want to buy it the day I'm going to eat it. And anyway, long story
and,
there.
And it's a great way to learn about, you know, different, you know, like currants grow really well here. And people are just not familiar. A lot of people, if you're not a grower, aren't necessarily familiar with currants. But, you know, there it is. And you can pick some and eat them. And what a great way to learn about what's available in your community that grows well.
I know. I remember talking to Bob Quinn over on the other side of the mountains. But he said he had like 26 different like fruit trees and berries and things that he could grow so he could eat like locally from his, you know, land all year long. There were just like different things that if you knew about them, I think currants was one of them.
Yeah. And so that's one conversation. Another one is going to be focused on inviting a conversation about growing in a changing climate. And that's going to be run by an organization called Climate Smart Glacier Country. And they're a nonprofit climate solutions partnership that tries to build bridges and connections between government agencies, organizations, schools, businesses, and individuals in this, you know, glacier country ecosystem, if you will, that supports individuals and businesses trying to think long term about how to make climate smart decisions in your long-term planning. And so there's a very particular aspect of that relates to growing foods and building healthy soils. And so they're going to be driving a conversation on that topic. And that's a pretty cool topic, I think. So that's just a couple of the conversations we'll be having. We have a couple more, and there you can find out more details on our website. But so the two community conversations we had last year were so successful, we really wanted to expand the opportunity and for people to, you know, think and listen and participate more fully in a larger variety of topics. And then in addition to that, we're in the process of finalizing the logistics of this, but we wanted to give people yet another opportunity to kind of just get a little mini version of what's possible. And so these are going to be like 5 to 10 minute quick conversations. You can just kind of come in and go out of a room. It might be the theater area where different people will be talking on topics that are of actions that are taking place in the community now that you might be curious to know more about. And so this is going to be just a quick and easy way to get a little more information that you might get at a booth and maybe less information than you might get at a workshop, but give you something that's food for thought, if you will. And so we've tried to give a variety of different ways for people to get information that they think is of interest to them and to help them move forward in any way that, you know, whatever it is that brought them to the seed fair, it's something having to do with real seeds, real foods, and real skills. How many ways can we make it accessible to you? That's our goal.
Awesome. I did want to just ask, in case like somebody missed our very first conversation that we had way back when I started, and I had no idea what a seed library was. Do you just want to touch really quickly?
Yes.
Like, explain that a seed library is kind of like a book library?
Yes, absolutely. So a seed library is a modern take on an old idea. Back in the day when our ancestors grew their own food, you know, there wasn't any place to buy seeds, so they saved their own seed. And people learned that actually by sharing seeds, so you, it was that helped build healthy genetics and healthy, strong, vibrant seed plants that could survive changes and unexpected pests that might show up. So it's important to share seeds. So as a culture, we don't do this very much anymore. So people have developed what are called seed libraries. And that just means that people who currently grow plants and save seeds donate seeds to this quote-unquote library, and ours happens to be housed in an actual library, but it could be anywhere. And you basically check out a little, you know, handful of seeds, kind of like you check out a book. You just take a spoonful in an envelope, and, you know, you don't need many. Seriously, 25 seeds is 25 plants. That's a lot of plants of any kind, of any particular variety. So anyways, you take those seeds and you grow them in your garden, and you enjoy the produce it produces. And then all we do is we ask that you save seed from maybe one or two of those plants. You don't have to save a lot of seed, but just a little bit. And on an honor system, you bring those seed back maybe the next year. And maybe you don't save seed the first year. Maybe you save seed your second year. That's okay. But the idea is that over time, you'll start to learn how to save seed, and then you'll start bringing your extra seed back. And if you bring, if you, Jackie, grow you know, lettuce in your garden, and I grow that same lettuce in my garden, and we each return a little bit of seed back to the library, we're both putting slightly different forms of the same variety seed back into a mix. And then when either you or I take seed out again, or somebody else does, they're getting the benefit of the plant's seeds. The plants have been grown in slightly different areas, and they're slightly different conditions. And the genetics that are now in those seed that we've brought back are going to be helpful to the person who takes the seed to the third garden down the road. I hope that was clear. it's a great way to help a community develop a healthy supply of seeds, and sharing is a key element of that.
Excellent.
Oh, that's clear.
You described it much better than I did.
Okay.
Okay. How about, do you want to talk a little bit, like, do you just have a list of the workshops for people? Like,
yes.
I remember the one of the really popular ones was the Bee Lady, and that was at the Seed Swap, was the first place I ever saw, like, a real live broad fork in person. And I remember the guy walking through, and I was like, oh, where's my camera? I couldn't get it out quick enough. And we just got ours. I finally ordered one for me and Mike, because when I was looking it up, because when I interviewed Jean-Martin Fortier the other day, and his farm was named after the broad fork. And so I was looking it up to put the link on his show notes, and there was one for sale on Amazon for $99, and I just couldn't resist. It was like $260 off. I think Amazon is starting like a whole garden section, and it's called the Dig It something or another.
Oh, great.
And so now they have like tools, and so it was like some kind of promotion thing. I don't know. So I was kind of worried, but it came, and it's really, like Mike said, it's heavy duty and nice iron. I was just playing with it.
Oh, they're great. They're great. That's wonderful. That's great.
So that was the cool, it's amazing what you learn and at the opportunities in the different events. So what other workshops do you want to mention? Something?
So we have, learning about cover crops. So
The
NRCS is going to teach about cover cropping. We have learning to identify and encourage beneficial insects and pollinators in your garden plot. Particularly if it's a vegetable plot, understanding, what you can do to encourage pollinators and beneficial insects coming to your garden. We have, as I said, basic seed saving and basic seed starting. We also have a whole workshop on just food growing 101. So what do you do after you plant the seed? Very key. And we have a great workshop also on lessons learned from building a solar greenhouse. And this is actually a gentleman who's put together it's not just a solar greenhouse. He's done a lot of elements to help make this greenhouse a food producing year round greenhouse in Montana winters. So he's designed it so that you can literally grow food year round. He's got a rocket mass heater, and he's built it down into the ground, and He's got hugger cultures. He's just got lots of elements put into it to make it functional and sustainable. And you'll learn a lot. Then we have a great one on understanding the value and importance of calibrating the minerals in your soil and why it matters. That's Todd Aluzio from Two Bear.
Oh,
that's
really?
One of the ones that were so popular last year. He's agreed to do it twice, so that's good.
Cool.
And then we have Aero, the Alternative Energies Resource Organization, going to be talking about how to strengthen community-based food systems and ways to do that in a community. Then we have a program. We have, of course, fruit tree grafting and fruit tree pruning, and introduction to honeybees and honey and beekeeping. We have a discussion on growing and saving medicinal herbs. We have a couple things on herbs. So that's one of them, growing them and saving them. We have another one on making herbal remedies, what they are and how to make them. And we have another one on distilling oils from medicinal herbs. We have another one on how to gather native seeds. Let's see. We have a different one. It's a third one on beekeeping, but it's more on mason bees, native pollinators, because they're different than honeybees, and you build basically what's called a mason bee house, not a hive. And let's see, I'm just kind of scanning my list because I don't know them all by heart. We have a workshop on never-till gardening, and we have a couple on permaculture, and we have another one on actually how to make sourdough, to make your own sourdough, to make your own locally sourced, because sourdough, like yogurt, is made from a gathering the beneficial bacteria and yeast in your local environment to make a starter that your body works well with and that makes delicious bread, or in the case of yogurt. So she's going to teach you how to do that. That's Julie Lang. And then there's another, we have a couple more herb workshops that I'm just now remembering. So there's a wide variety of what to do with the plants and the food that you harvest, as well as how to grow it.
Awesome.
And none of those, by the way, are the children's activities. The children ones are pretty cool. They're seed tape making and microgreens and making what are called seed bombs. And they're the ones that are going to make the mason bee houses. And there's just a bunch of activities they're going to do. They just look really fun to me. My decision is that I'm so busy, working it. I don't get to participate in any of these great workshops, but that's okay.
They sound super fun. And the seed tape was like, that was cool. I did that last year.
Yeah, that was
fun. I thought that was one of the best things.
Yeah, those are fun to make.
So, all right, good.
I think one of the things I love about it is it's just community members who are enthusiastic about what they're doing. They're donating their time to give these workshops, and they do it because they just love it, and they have a lot of information. They're experts in what they do. So we have a lot of resources in this community, and I just feel so honored to be helping to bring their information forward.
Aw. Well, it's an honor to me to be talking with you and sharing this with our audience. So we should tell everybody one more time. It's March 4th from 8:30 to 3:30. Is that right?
Wait. It's March 4th, 8 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Flathead Valley Community College in the Arts and Technology Building. And if you're not familiar with the community college, it's 777 Grandview Drive. The seed swap itself is from 8 a.m. to noon. The workshops, booths, and conversation are from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And the teacher's workshop, which you do need to register for, is from 8:30 to 11:30 a.m. And you can get all that information on our website, which is freetheseedsmt.com. And we also have a Facebook page, which is Free the Seeds Montana. And there's going to be, you know, get details and information there, like our Facebook page or link on the event that we have associated with our page, and you'll be sure to get all of our updates. We'll be updating you with the schedule and, you know, more details about the workshops and all good things like that. So stay engaged, stay connected, and come on out. I think you'll enjoy it and get a lot of information and have a good time.
All right. I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't say, you're looking for sponsors and you're looking for volunteers, right? Like, didn't it say it costs like $7,000 to put this thing on, and
yes,
people can start a sponsorship for as low as $100 if they want to sponsor. Just bigger donations are welcome. And then are you probably looking for volunteers to help out, because there's a ton of jobs that day of the event too.
And or before, if you want to. Yes. So thank you very much for doing that and bringing that forward. If you want to sponsor or you want to volunteer, all that information is on our webpage, pretty accessible and easy to find. And definitely there's opportunity to volunteer ahead of time. You could come to one of our seed cleaning parties or seed packing parties, help us make signs. We love to have people day of event. Never can have too many people there. So we have a great coordinator, Pamela Lund, who's managing our volunteers, and she'll get right back to you and work out all the details. Easy to sponsor. It's a one click from our website. Definitely looking for sponsors. And we have a lot of ways that we will acknowledge you and appreciate you and thank you deeply from our hearts for your participation.
And thank you, Robin, so much for sharing with us today and putting this on and helping put it together, because it was so fun last year. The smiling faces, the people, throngs of people coming through the door. Because we were like thinking, like, I remember on Facebook, we're like, do you think we'll even get 375 people?
I know. I actually at the end thought, okay, maybe we'll get 500. Wouldn't that be amazing if we got 700 people? And I think we were just blown away.
I remember arguing with Mike about it in the morning. Oh, we're not getting that many people. Don't worry. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.